it can be enjoyable. It can also be horrific. It can be mad, happy, sad. You never know what it could be like. So it's kind of like, it makes me feel like, I guess, anxious. Because, like, I never know what to anticipate coming from, you know, everyday life. And I test some, like, I tested people. That's what I would do. Like, people that I'm close to, I would test them to see, like, if it really mattered if I was there or not. And I actually, like, got my answer.
Like, our little brothers and sisters start growing up. They're starting to do the things that we're doing right now at a younger age. You know what I mean? It's like, they're starting to play, like, video games that we would play when we were, like, 15. When they're, like, 12 or, like, 10.
Like, back in elementary school, I had no friends. Everyone just didn't really like me. I literally said that I was just going to go kill myself. And, like, you know, I actually planned on it. I was going to do it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Camden Podcasting Club. I am so excited for this episode. This one has the potential to be one of the most amazing ones we've ever done. Completely different format this time. Today I have my good friend co-hosting with me this time, Clyde Jackson. Why don't you unmute your mic? What is up, Clyde?
I actually left the call.
This is so funny. And today, we are both going to be interviewing another great friend of mine, Judah Gardner. Judah, why don't you unmute your mic? So glad to have you.
Hey, how are you?
Hey. So, first question, and I guess me and Clyde are just going to alternate. So, how would you describe yourself, Judah, as a person?
As a person, I would definitely describe myself as someone who is outgoing, caring, and just fun to be around.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I agree with that.
What do you like to do, man?
Huh?
What do you like to do? You know, hobbies, passions, that kind of thing.
I like to play video games. I like going out and hanging out with people. Talking to people just makes me, you know, happy. I also really enjoy sleeping.
Really?
Yeah. But that's like, sleeping is like a luxury in high school. Oh,
that's true.
That's so true.
Between like the part-time jobs.
Especially when you only get like 2 hours of sleep a night.
Is that something that's frequent for you?
Yeah, I guess in like four.
Like, I'm trying to work on like this podcast, like 11 a.m. nights are like, they're common, man. Can't imagine with a part-time job that's like, it's insane. But yeah, so like, you spend a lot of your time playing video games. Like, what is it about video games that you love?
I just love being able to sit here and play a game and, like, see myself improve. And then, like, as time goes on, just noticing the improvement that I see in myself. And, you know, it kind of makes me feel proud of myself for, like, being able to become better at something.
So one thing I'm wondering is video games, like, an escape for you? Because, like, 95% of the people I talk to, they say that video games are an escape. Other 5% say it's just the competitiveness. So I'm curious, like, where do you fall on that?
Well, playing video games, it kind of started, like, back. It was technically an escape, but, like, more so an escape from my home life.
Right? Okay.
So I would spend my time with my older brother playing, like, Pokemon. So, like, I played Pokemon with him, and now it's kind of like, I am, like, emotionally connected to Pokemon because of all that time. Yeah, because, like, all of that time I've spent with him since he was, like, my caregiver, really.
You think it brought you closer to your brother playing video games?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My brother and I, we're definitely really close.
What do you, like, admire about him? Like, what?
He's like a leader. Like, he's just such a leader, and he's always been there for me and my family and his friends. And, you know, it's like, I want to be that person that's always there whenever someone needs them.
Yeah. And
so I noticed you said that it started as an escape. Would you say it's not an escape anymore? Is that what you were hinting at earlier?
Yeah. Like, you know, the most recent days of my life, I have definitely been, like, a lot happier. And, like, playing video games now is just for the sheer fun of it. Like, it's not really, like, just an escape or, like, to be competitive. It's more or less just to sit down and have fun doing something that I like to do.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, I remember, I think it was probably either middle school or elementary school for me, and I repeat this a lot, but, like, video games was totally an escape for me. Like, I remember I didn't have a lot of people to talk to, and video games, you know, it was just another world I could dive into. But now, I mean, honestly, it's just really like a stress reliever for me. Like, I don't feel the same connection I used to.
That. It's like you have time to kill, and you want to, you know, just lay low.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, it's another commodity. It's not as, you know, we don't have as much spare time anymore.
Yeah. High school does that. It's insane.
It's true.
So,
Arts.
What is it about you? Oh, wait. You were talking, Clyde. I was totally butchering you, man.
I was like, okay. So, let's take a complete 180 here. And what is your perspective on reality? I really like that question. I feel like a lot of people should answer that question.
My perspective on reality?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's reality itself. It can be enjoyable. It can also be horrific. It can be mad, happy, sad. You never know what it could be like. So it's kind of like, it makes me feel like, I guess, anxious, because like I never know what to anticipate coming from, you know, everyday life in reality.
So, I know you're talking about how like sometimes like reality isn't as beautiful or pretty as we want it to be, right? Do you think that people who use like video games or drugs or like other outlets to excessively remove themselves from reality, do you think that like people do that, or kind of like what do you think of those type of people? What's your opinion on people of escapists, if you know what I mean?
I feel like those type of people, they're kind of like in a dark spot in their life, and like they just don't know what to do, so they turn to the one thing that's closest to them that they can just get easily, which would be video games. And sometimes it takes some time for them to, like, it's like walking through a tunnel. They're right now walking through a tunnel, and, like, right now it's just video games. Like, they were walking and walking, found video games, playing, and now they're playing them. And then after some time, you know, they eventually are going to find the end of the tunnel where, like, they can finally get out of the, like, closed-in space. But sometimes, you know, people can't do that alone. Sometimes they need a little helping hand to get them there.
So what was the end of the tunnel for you that really got you out of it? What was the helping hand?
It was actually not that long ago. I actually got out of the tunnel, like I would say 2 months ago.
Gotcha.
It was more or less the fact of, you know, trying to finally see like if people like actually would care if I were gone. And then, like, so I would test some, like, I tested people. That's what I would do. Like, people that I'm close to, I would test them to see, like, if it really mattered if I was there or not. And I actually, like, got my answer from one time because my one friend started crying and, like, you know, said, like, you know, I'm not a part of the friend group, and he misses me. And I was like, wow, wait, like, this is, like, something new to me. And then I kind of just had an alternate, like, my mind, like, it just changed. My mindset changed. I used to be this super negative person who was just like, there's no worth in trying. I don't know why I even try. Like, you know, I always said, I'll be dead soon enough. And then now it's just like, you know, there is worth of trying. You know, at least I can say I tried, then I didn't try. And, like, you know, life has just been great right now.
Huh. So,
do you think that life would have been, do you think that you would have, how do you think you would have reacted if you got a negative answer and people wouldn't have really cared, per se, or at least you took it that way?
I would probably, like, not even know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I would probably be so shocked that I would just, like, kind of like, that's when I would just go straight back into video games. I probably quit my job. like, you know, so I could just not be around people, and I could just be by myself back in, like, that little dark area. That was, like, the only thing that really brought me comfort in that dark time.
Do you think that there are people like that? Do you think that there are people who don't find, you know, the connection that they're looking for, the
oh, yes.
that they're looking for, where they belong?
Yeah, I 100% think that there are definitely, like, tons and tons of people out there like that.
Do you think that there's some point, like, at a certain level, like, far down the hole that you just can't get out?
No. It's not like you can't ever get out of the tunnel. It's just some people think it's just helpless, and that they're helpless and hopeless, and they can't get out. But that's when they need someone to give them a helping hand.
So, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy, a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, to other people who are going through the same kind of thing, you know, what would you say to them? You know, should they, like, go and should they test their friends, or, like, how would they get out of it?
I would, honestly, what they should do is they should definitely put themselves out there more, and they shouldn't, like, keep themselves locked in. Because if you keep yourself locked in, all you are is you're stuck with yourself and your thoughts. And usually people in that spot are not happy with themselves and don't like themselves. So that means that the time that they're spending by themselves, they're not going to like, because they don't like who they are. That's why they need to get out there, find out who they are, and then when they find out who they, like, actually are, they'll feel so much more happier about themselves in life.
But, like, where to even start? Like, if I'm, like, a total loner, like, where do I start, like, making friends? Do I just, you know, go running, go biking, or, like, what? How would you do it?
What I did was, in school, I decided, like, I at school, I sit there and apply it, but I'm always listening to other people.
Right.
I'm always listening to see if I know anything that I can, like, bring up and, like, be like, oh, I have this in common, like, let me say something. And, you know, usually if you have one thing in common, you have multiple things in common with that person. So, what I personally did was, I was like, alright, let me get out there, let me talk and say, like, what I like to do, and then, like, eventually, I've gotten a lot of friends as time has gone on. Like, back in elementary school, I had no friends, everyone just didn't really like me. I didn't know what to do with myself. Thought about killing myself before as well. And then in the seventh grade, I was just like, I was sitting in school, and then, you know, my one friend was getting bullied, and I freaked out because he was getting bullied every single day, and it was the last class of each day, to the point where I literally said that I was just going to go kill myself. And, like, you know, I actually planned on it, I was going to do it, but then my friend that kept getting bullied, that's when I found out that people actually cared about me, is when I opened up my mouth about, like, how all of this is, like, affecting me. And then that's exactly when, like, I didn't even know, like, I told my friend one day, like, when we were just all outside, and, you know, everyone else was having fun, running around, playing, and I was just sitting in the corner, and then told my friend what I was planning, and then, you know, he started crying. And then this one kid, who I've never talked to in my life, he started crying as well, because he heard what I said. And I was just like, this really affects, like, people. And I was like, I didn't realize, like, that I have this effect on people, that I can, like, that people just care about me. Like, it's just, sometimes it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is, and... So, you would say that the thing that just, like, changed everything was, like, when you realized that, like, you had, like, value, that people cared?
Yeah. That definitely changed a lot of things. But it didn't fully fix everything.
Sure.
So, go on.
So, right now, you were saying that the thing that sort of anchored you in the tunnel was video games, right? That's what, like, sort of kept you in. That's what we are.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would you say to people who use, like, drugs as their tunnel? Like, what do you think that that's any different? Do you think that it's, like, the same principle or the same level?
It's definitely different. Like, video games takes you to an alternate reality. A game, like, basically a place that's better than the place that you're in. That you say that you're...
Yeah.
It's better than your outside world.
Or at least that's how it seems to you.
Yeah. But when people are, you know, they're, like, doing drugs, there's no saying, like, as to how it affects, because it affects everyone differently. Like, some people use it just because they want to use it. Some people use it because they're depressed and they just don't want to be around people and they'd rather be, quote-unquote, numb from reality. And then there are just other people that use it because they just want to escape this world and just don't want to be here or, like... It's basically, like, an alternate way of being, like, gone. Like, not even existing.
So, for them, So, in my opinion, just tell me if you think this is right, too, right? A good analogy would be when you use, like, video games.
Yeah.
It's like, you're, like, living in a different world, living a different life, almost. But when you are using, like, drugs or, like, illicit substances, you are distorting your current reality to fit your needs. Or maybe not fit your needs, just to be different.
No, I completely agree with that.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm just taking it all in, and I think that's... No, but I hadn't realized that, yeah, there was such a big difference in between the relationship between using drugs and using video games. I mean, I think, kind of like Clyde, I initially thought it was, like, the same kind of mentality, but, like...
And there's also another big difference with that as well, is that when people play video games, it's also that sense of accomplishment of actually doing something, whereas people that are doing the drugs... They've completely, like, you know, given up. They don't know what to do. So they resort to drugs to make them kind of, like, feel that the high that they wish that they could have without drugs.
Yeah. Like, if you can't get it from real life, you know, just get it from some substance. I'm curious, and this is another topic transition, is on society... Do you think that, you know, society as a whole is going downhill, or what direction do you think that our culture is moving in?
This is really difficult because there's so many things that are happening that's good, but there's also so many things that are happening that's making it bad.
Right.
Right. Like, let's see. What came to my mind was some parts of people that are like let's say like sexism, racism, like all that right there, that is becoming more prominent in everyday life, like more and more, and like now it's like more or less like some females, when it comes to feminism, they are really like complete feminism, like they're not just for equality, it's like, they'll hate men. Like, that's something that needs to be fixed, that I personally believe. Because I don't think just because it's not equal that you should hate the other gender. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And racism, that's just... I think it's completely messed up. Like, it just shouldn't be a thing. We're all people. We all have the same heart. We all have the same blood. Like... It's kind of like, where did we all go wrong, in a sense?
Yeah.
I see that. But it's also, you know, it's like, sometimes I feel like the people who are, like, racist now, it's not that they aren't to blame, it's just that they've grown up in an environment where their parents sort of pass it on. Yeah. So they don't know anything else. And it's like, I feel like that's where the, like, key problem is, where, like, areas of the world or areas of even our country that have just been practicing the same types of now politically unacceptable, socially unacceptable practices.
One
thing that I would present, one, you know, theory is that, you know, for a lot of these people who they don't have a lot going on in their lives, maybe they're in a deep tunnel, you know, finding community with some of these really maybe toxic or terrible people, it's one way to you know, bring a little bit of light to their lives. I mean, it's one sense of community, even if it's a terrible community, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's one way. So that's something I was just thinking about as you guys were talking.
You're right, because it's just like, if that's all that you have around you and you need to connect with people, then maybe you force yourself to, you know. Yeah, that's another thing, right? Like, when you have like, the whole concept of, like, drugs, right? Or, like, video games. Like, for example, when, like, a really popular video game came out, like, I guess Fortnite, everyone started getting it, you know?
Yeah.
Back in, like, but it's the same, I feel like it's almost, like, a similar concept with drugs. Once you get to a certain grade or time in high school, I feel like everyone just starts doing it, and then you're, like, everyone else is doing it, and I want to be a part of the community. And that's, I guess, peer pressure in action. And maybe that goes along with, you know, racism and sexism.
Oh, I absolutely hate peer pressure.
Yeah.
Can you
talk about any experiences with that?
Yeah, I could probably think of something. Oh, okay. So my brother, he would smoke weed, right? And he constantly was like, "Yo, you wanna? And, like, he constantly, like, kept asking me if I wanted to over and over again. And I kept on being, like, the thing is, some people aren't strong enough to say no. Like, right. they just don't have, like, they don't want to be, like, it. Like, what goes through their head is, if I say no, is this person not going to like me anymore? Like, but, like, is it really worth doing the drug in the first place, though? Just to keep your friend where you can go out and get another friend who's just like him that probably doesn't even do drugs. But, you know, the next day, my brother did go up and tell my mom that she raised a good son because I kept saying no to him, even though, like, he kept asking.
I'm really curious.
Sorry, Clyde. I cut you off.
No, I was just curious as to what your opinions were on marijuana at all, because, like, you know, I hear a lot of people saying that, like, you know, of all the drugs out there, you know, marijuana is probably, like, the least bad, I guess, because, but I'm curious what you think.
It's the least substance-based. It's, like, it's not the worst. Like, it is definitely safer than most substance drugs. It's more or less, it's, like, you smoke it, yeah, and it goes into your lungs, but it's also used for, like, you know, healing people, like, that need it. Like, it can be used medically, but in recreational use. Some people use that, especially, like, if they're in pain and they can't get a medical card. They'll resort to, like, you know, recreational use, which is why I think that, you know, like, I personally think that legalizing it will benefit society, like, in, like, ways that, like, money-wise, you know, since the country is in debt. But, like, I just, my one fear is, like, the pure fact of everyone doing it, and then, like, eventually, you know, imagine, like, walking down the street in, like, a city, and all you just smell is just weed. That's all you'll smell.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know.
Damn. When you put it that way, it's kind of, like, everyone's saying, like, there's, like, benefits to, like, marijuana, you know, like you were saying, like, money benefits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put it that way, you know, just walking down, like, Philadelphia Street and everyone's just smoking weed, it's like, do we really want to be that nation? You know, do we really want to be that country where...
Yeah. Like, I actually have a friend who's from Canada, and, it, you know, it's legal in Canada. And she tells me, she's like, oh my god, I hate it. Like, because, like, she would just go and walk to school, and just walking to school, that's all she would smell. Yeah,
I mean, it is, like, no matter what people say, I mean, it is a drug, and there is a lot of compelling evidence for legalizing it, and I agree with a lot of it. I think it's a lot of good, but I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it is a drug, and it's, if you're, I guess, you know, searching for a purpose in life, you're not going to find it in marijuana, is what I'm saying. You know.
Yeah. However, I have dabbled with, you know, marijuana.
Sure.
And, like, I realized something, it can help you realize when something's wrong. Okay. Like, or, like, when you know it's time to stop, I should say. You know, when I first started doing it, it was like, man, like, this is pretty cool. Like, this is fun. Super laughy. Like, this is fun. I like this. And then, that was also when, times were bad. But around the times, times started getting really good, every time I would do it, I was just like, man, why do I feel so sick? Like, I constantly felt sick, and I was just like, man, I'm not really liking this anymore. But I feel like it's because of the shift in my mind that is, like, now telling me, like, you know, life is good, why are we still doing this? It's kind of like a guilt that I feel towards myself.
It's so really interesting. One of like my ideas is that as our generation grows older and like our little brothers and sisters start growing up, they're starting to do the things that we're doing right now at a younger age. You know what I mean? It's like they're starting to play like video games that we would play when we were like 15, when they're like 12 or like 10. And I hear the same things happening with like drugs and stuff. You know, like I've heard middle schoolers doing vaping like a lot of middle schoolers doing vaping and like that kind of thing, right? What do you think on that? Do you think that our grade level or our generation almost is sort of influencing the kid below us into doing worse things earlier?
I wouldn't blame it on us specifically, because generations upon generations have constantly been doing what we're like, well, besides video games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like smoking, drinking, like that's always just been something. But I think the pure fact of how advanced technology is getting is that, you know, so now like parents are like giving like their 10-year-old son or daughter like a phone, and then they're on their phone, and then they realize, like, you know, they start seeing things that older people are posting.
So you think it's like social media? You think it's just like the...
Oh, yeah, I really think it's media.
Ability for people to have access to these types of things.
Oh, yeah. Like, it drives me insane when I, like, think about, like, you know, like, middle schoolers. Like, I remember my brother, like, telling me, like, he was in 7th grade, and he was just like, yeah, my friends went to a party, and they're, like, drinking and getting drunk. I'm just like, you're in the 7th grade. You shouldn't be doing that. And, like, it got me so mad and so worked up.
Do you think that's how, like, people who are older than us feel? Like, when they see us doing, like, when they see us, like, our generation doing, like, vaping and drinking and smoking, and you have, like, people in, like, maybe college or people who, like, just older people in general who are, like, you are way too young for that kind of stuff?
I don't think so, because most people start doing it when they are, like, our age right now. But, like, when you see, like, a 12-year-old being like, yeah, I'm getting drunk, it's like, you're 12. When I was 12, I was sitting in my basement playing Pokemon on my Nintendo 3DS. Like,
that was my high, man. That's how I got
Yeah,
there.
Right?
Looking for those Pokeballs and Shinies, that's my high.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm telling
you,
bro. Like, Pokemon is a classic of
any. Oh, my God, it's the best.
Wait, what game did you guys start on? I was a Pearl guy. Pokemon Pearl.
Pearl? I technically started on Platinum, but I lost my...
Ooh, look at this rich kid here. He's on Platinum.
I started with Pokemon Red and Blue. OG. And moved up from there.
Ooh, OG,
yeah.
OG.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Respect.
Yeah, but I actually started playing Heart Gold again, so that's nice.
I want to do, like, a Nuzlocke.
I'm doing a Shiny Lock. Really.
Okay, so yeah, for the listeners who aren't aware, can you explain what a Nuzlocke and what a Shiny Hunt is, you know?
Well, a Nuzlocke is, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Nuzlocke is where you can only, it's like hardcore Pokemon, where you can only catch certain Pokemon, or a certain number of Pokemon. If the Pokemon dies, you can never use it again, and you have to beat the game.
The one thing you missed is that it's the first Pokemon you encounter in the wild, in like the next route after like a gym, is the Pokemon you have to catch and you have to play with.
Gotcha.
That'd be fun. That'd be pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, that's why I do these things called Shiny Locks.
Gotcha. What is it?
It's even harder, because you have to get a shiny version of the first Pokemon you find in the wild. And if, you know, shiny hunting takes a really long time sometimes. And
sometimes?
Only sometimes. I've gotten some in, like, 4 encounters. I've gotten some in, like, 4 months.
Like, whoa.
But, like, it's all a matter of, like, time when you do that. Like, if you're patient, it's, like, I'm telling you, it's the best. I always shiny hunt because it's, like, again, it's a source of accomplishment of, like, wow, I've worked towards this shiny Pokemon, and now I finally have it. Like, let me catch it and use it.
Or I'll kill it by accident. And then
oh my god, that happened to me before. And it was a shiny Palkia.
Gotta keep that Scyther false swipe on you.
Wait, so how rare is the shiny? Again, for the listeners, you know, the potential normies who are listening.
So if we're going from, the original Pokemon, like, where shinies were first implemented into the game, which was Pokemon Gold and Pokemon Silver. So from there up until Gen 4, so, like, Sinnoh, the rate of finding a shiny was 1 in 8,130, or 92.
Holy crap.
And then it was implemented into the game in Gen 5, what is called the Shiny Charm. And that would basically make your odds of finding a shiny increased, which increased it to 1 in 4,096.
That's a real bump up there, man. Dang.
Yeah, technically that's double.
Yeah, and not only that, but when Gen 6 came out, it wasn't even 1 in 8,192 anymore. It was constantly 1 in 4,096. So when you would get the shiny charm, it made your odds even less into a 1 in 3 or 1
in 1,328. Huh. Dang.
Yeah.
Now that's starting to sound workable there, just a little bit. not at all, though.
Yeah. The game I'm going through right now is the 1 in 8,100.
Mad respect. Wait, our gold is.
Uh huh.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm right now going for a shiny starter.
Respect.
Probably refocus.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. So back on slightly more serious stuff is: do you think that society is fractured on the basis of economic status?
I think that depends on where you are located in the country.
Okay.
Pardon me, I just had to mute myself. I was coughing.
Gotcha.
It definitely because, like, our area. Our area is, we have, like, a mixed economy here, where there's, you know, conservatives and liberals. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like more people, like, more liberals, I should say, are going to be, like, opening their mouths more now. And, you know, there's kind of, like, always, like, kind of pushed to the side. But, like, now, like, but, like, sometimes they can be a bit too extreme, like, if you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah.
Like, creating fake news just to try and make it look like, you know, conservatives are being bad. So then conservatives are like, all right, then we'll make fake news to make you guys look bad. And, you know, it just starts causing, like, this pointless war that's not even needed. Like, personally, I am right in the middle. I'm a moderate.
Yeah, like, it's interesting.
I believe on both sides, yeah. But I also feel like with how many moderates there are, it's just going to be even difficult. It's going to be more difficult to have, like, a basis of the economic system in the future. Because, you know, people are going to be like, well, I don't know if I want to be conservative or if I want to be, like, a liberal. Like, you know, like, they're just smack in the middle. So I guess, you know, it kind of always has to depend on who is running and, like, what their campaign is.
Right.
But I definitely feel like it brings people apart. Like, it just starts tearing, like, society apart.
Like, how so? Like, you know, people just not talking to friends just because of their political beliefs?
I have seen that, like, people will be like, wait, you're, like, a liberal? And it's like, you're a conservative? And then they just stop talking to each other and they're, like, disgusted with one another. And I'm just like, that's not necessary. You guys were friends before. You shouldn't let something political drive you apart.
So I was just looking up an interesting statistic, right? And people generally make out the U.S. to be super well off, which I'm saying, like, it is. It's a really, really great place to live compared to places that have, like, inflation rates in the thousands.
Yeah. But
the poverty rate, according to Google, of the U.S. official poverty rate is 11.8%. So that's, like, one out of 10 people in the United States are living in poverty. Like, what are your thoughts on that when you think of, like, the U.S. as a country and what it's, like, supposed to symbolize to the world?
Honestly, I personally think that, like, if someone, like, if you're going through poverty, right, I feel like the government constantly tries to still go grab money from you, even if, like, you have no money, whereas, like, they should, like, be, like, trying to support you and help pick you back up and put you back on your feet, and then, like, once you start kind of getting there, that's when they're like, all right, now we're gonna need the taxes. But, like, the pure fact that they're just constantly, like, no, more money, like, we don't care. If you don't have it, then you're on the street. It's kind of, like, that's just the way I see it, though.
Right. Like,
I think that, sorry.
No, go on. I wasn't even going to say anything, so you go ahead.
I think that it's, like, I don't think that they're necessarily trying to grab money for them. It's more that they are just kind of letting a flawed system stay in place because they have other quote-unquote important things
to do.
Yeah, and that's just fixing the system would require maybe a complete, like, overhaul.
Like a 180-degree turn?
Yeah, like the U.S. government is just not, you know, trying to do that right now.
Yeah, no.
So you were saying, Cody, sorry for...
honestly, like... My original idea behind the question was, like, do you just, like, ever feel, like, you know, judged by an economic status in, like, I guess high school or in life?
Now, like, what do you mean by judged by an economic status?
Like, I mean, so I know for a lot of people who are really well off, some of my really well off friends, people are always, like, they're always trying to get stuff from them, like, they're always trying to, like, you know, go out with them, like, go to the movies with them, like, leeching off them, and they just don't really see the value of money either, because it's like they're so well off. So I'm curious, is, you know, for you, like, what's that like? Like, do you have, like, a more middle class lifestyle or a more lower class lifestyle? Like, is what's the different perspective in that?
So growing up, I was definitely more lower class. I almost lost my house. Like, I remember, like, hearing my parents arguing about, like, how they're going to pay for the bills and, like, how, like, they can't afford these things. You know, we went on a budget. I would always get, like, cheap clothing. You know, like, as time was going on, you know, we kind of moved more into, like, a middle class. But, like, what I have to say is that the mentality of the lower class still remains. Like, I still, like, will go to the store and, like, or, like, go out to eat, and if someone's paying for me, I get the most cheapest thing possible, because I don't want to have, I don't want them to spend too much money on me, because, you know, it just goes right back to, like, the, you know, like, oh, we don't have any money. But, like, if I'm out and about, and I have, like, my own money, like, I'm willing to pay for other people, I let them get what they want. But that's also because that's also what I always wanted. You know, like, as a kid growing up, I wanted my parents to be like, oh, here, like, we're going out to eat, like, you can get what you want. You know, and not have to worry, like, how are we going to pay the bills? Like, oh, how are we going to get the groceries? And all that.
Right. And did it ever, when you were, in the more tiring economic situation, like, did it ever impact your relationships with others, or were people, like, super accepting? Or,
like, when I was, like, in, like, the lower class?
Yeah, sure.
That's when, I mean, people judged me hard for that. You know, I would go to school, I would have, like, super greasy hair, I would always have a hoodie on, and, like, my pants would be ripped. And, you know, people, like, would look at me and then they'd make fun of me for it. Like, I was getting made fun of at school. And then I'd go home and, you know, it'd be like, basically, like, what's better, being at home or being at school? Because of all the stress that was put onto, like, me and, like, my family, my mom decided, you know, she went and got drunk every night, 2 a.m. at a bar, and she would come home, and there would just be an argument between her and my dad. So, like, that would just, that was reoccurring, like, very often. So I had to deal with that. My two older brothers would, like, you know, they would, like fight me and hit me, and I just wouldn't fight them back, because I was, like, super, like, that. It was basically, I just took it. I always take things. My younger brothers would make fun of me. So it was, like, be home and, like, have all that happen, and then go to school and get made fun of by kids there. It's, like, there's really no, like, that. There was just no way, like, I could deal with that. But, like, as soon as, like, things kind of started picking up, like, home life, that's kind of when things started picking up in school life as well.
Right. So do you think that a lot of people who, I guess, they act out in school, they do all this stuff, you think a huge part of it is their home life?
I feel like they didn't get attention from their parents growing up, so they're trying to get attention from other people.
Never thought about it like that.
That's what I think, because that's the way my brother was.
And you just saw that lack of attention just manifests itself in acting out.
Yeah. You know, or being like it's like acting out, getting in trouble, and doing things like that just to make someone laugh, just to get their attention, just to make them smile. It's kind of like a drive.
Yeah. And so one thing I'm curious about is, like, what's your opinion of high school
in my totality? Opinion of high school?
Yeah, what do you think of high school? What do you think of middle school? What do you think of school?
School, you know, it can be good, it can be bad. You know, you can make friends at school, you know, kind of, like, realize, find out who you are. But, like, that's, like, towards the end of, you know, high school. But, like, when it comes to, like, middle school and elementary school, people don't know people. And especially nowadays, like, no one knows how to talk to each other because of, well, social media. So it kind of makes it more and more difficult to, I guess, associate yourself with people in school. So it kind of makes school a bit tougher for other people.
Yeah, right. I definitely do see that, like, that inability to talk to people. But I also feel like, even on social media, like, people aren't really talking to each other there either. I mean, it's just a whole lot of not talking. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. And I'm curious, like, what's your view on college, and where do you see yourself going after school?
See, college, I feel like if you don't know what you want to do, don't go there yet and just hold off. Because, like, if you don't know what you want to do, and, like, say, like, you're like, okay, I'll just do this as a master. And then you do it, and then all the money that you just spent goes to waste because you find out that that's not what you actually want to do. And you have to spend even more money to just do it. Like, you know, just do what you actually want to do.
Okay.
But, like, for me personally, I know that I kind of want to take a year off, kind of, like, save up some more money, because I was thinking about becoming, like, a math teacher.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, like a gap year.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So why math? I mean, what do you love about being a math teacher? I mean, that sounds, I think teaching is probably one of the highest callings that anyone can aspire to, even though I think, personally, think it would drain my life. But, like, why does it appeal to you?
It appeals to me because math has always been the one subject that I could do without even trying, without listening. It's kind of, like, natural to me. So, I also always wanted to help people and, like, teach people the way of, like, doing some things. So, you know, like, I was like, you know, I can do all of that just being a math teacher.
Hunter, come back.
I think that's very interesting. And,
another thing, you know, with the whole, like, teaching profession. Like, I think that for the amount of schooling they get, teachers aren't getting as much, like, recognition and pay as they should be. What do you think about that? Or
oh, who's that guy?
What do you think about that card?
Yeah, I mean, definitely teachers do not get nearly enough money that they should be getting. And here's why. Because what you're essentially doing as a teacher is you alone are basically determining the future paths for an entire generation of kids. Like, up to, like, 30 people a day. Actually, if you're a high school teacher, almost about 100 people a day. And if you're a terrible teacher and you make them hate that subject, that's a massive increase or decrease in income just because of your ability to teach. And you're impacting so many lives. And, like, how much do you get paid? Like, if you're in a really wealthy area, you might get paid, like, 60, 100K. Now, compare that to a software engineer, right? A software engineer, sure, they're making programs and stuff in Google, but they're not determining the lives of hundreds of children.
It's also, like,
every day.
Software, if you're, like, a software engineer, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, graduate school, you don't really need graduate school to come out of, you can just come out with an undergrad, right?
Yeah, that's right, absolutely right. Make 90K out of college.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's true. Like,
you have teachers who go, they have to go to grad school. You can't be a teacher without going to grad school.
That's true.
And they are not, like, making nearly enough. Or nearly at least on par. Unless teachers don't have to go to grad school, but I'm pretty sure teachers have to go to grad school.
You were saying, Judah? Okay, back to recording. Okay, Clyde, you still alive?
I'm still alive.
Okay. All right, we're just talking about teachers. We're talking about salaries. Let's get right into it.
I was going to say, like, I feel like teachers should make more. Like, I feel like if they make more money, it'll give them more of, like, the motivation to do a better job at teaching. Like, some teachers, like, I guess, like, it also depends on the students. Like, some students are just so, like, they just sort of think, I guess, disobedient. And some teachers don't know how to deal with that. And, you know, like, it just makes it harder for them when, like, you know, they're just trying to do their job. They're trying to teach you. But, like, I feel like sometimes teachers... teachers need to have, like, the sense of fun and, like, entertainment as well, like, in them.
Right.
But, like, if they don't do that and they're just there to teach you, like, yes, that's their job to teach you, but if you're not entertaining or, like, making, like, the student that you're, like, dealing with enjoy, like, what you're teaching, they're not going to want to, like, learn it. They're not going to want to be in class. And, like, that's where I was standing. Like, you know, like, last year, I missed 28 and a half days of school.
Dang.
I was late to school over 100 times.
What's the story behind that?
I was in a very, very dark time last year. And it was more or less the fact of, like, being overwhelmed with, like, things going on outside of school, toxic people in my life that are just, like, that, like, sucked me away from my own self. So, like, I just couldn't, like, be myself. And it, you know, when it came to, like, missing that, like, that many days of school, like, it made my grades plummet. I started doing very poor in school, and it made it even harder on me. But I also kept, you know, not going to school because I just didn't have, like, the sheer willpower to do so.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, honestly, on teachers, like, okay, so I forget what I was going to say, right? But clarifying, more on teachers, like, they have such a humongous job. I know English teachers, they're writing, like, they're analyzing, like, 5-page papers, like, every day, all the time. And then on top of that, it's the skill of dealing with all these children all the time. And then here's the thing, like, while they're doing that, it's extremely hard for them to, you know, be able to relate to all these individual students and, like, understand each of their individual situations like you were going through. Like, I'm sure a teacher probably had the potential to see what was going on in your situation and help you out. But, like, when they're underneath all that workload, they're underneath all that stress of maybe not getting the income that they deserve for that, like, they're doing a practically impossible task.
I mean, it's true, yeah. But it's also why I want to be a teacher. Like, things that motivate me is to do better and to, like, basically, like, yeah, do better at what someone else is doing. Like, I want to be a teacher to help people to do what I like to do. And, like, but also, like, be like, you know, some of my teachers just couldn't help me, whereas I've been through so much as a kid that I can, I relate to people, and I understand people, and like, throughout everything they go through, because I can put myself into their shoes. And, like, being, like, a student the way I was, like, you know, not going to school and all that, I know, like, what could be going on. I know how to help with that. And, you know, I've always been, like, the type of person to try and help people, like, you know, help them through whatever they're going through. Always be there. But that's also because when I was a kid, I was going through, a really hard time. And I felt alone. And I just wanted, at least one person to be there to, like, understand what I'm going through. So, you know, say, like, don't worry, it's going to be all right. And since I never got that, whenever I see someone like that, I'm like, I have the instant want to go and help them, because I was like, when I was in their place, that's all I wanted. And that's probably what they want too.
So as a teacher, you're basically like passing on the torch, I guess.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself 20 years from now in the future?
I probably see myself, you know, being a teacher, you know, having, I've always wanted a family as well, like, you know, and just, like, you know, trying to enjoy life and to help people, like, that's my main goal throughout my life, is to just constantly help people and to make sure, like, that they can be the best, like, they can be, to find that, like, help them find who they are so that they can, you know, become happy with themselves and become happier in life, to have, like, that positive outlook instead of having, like, the pessimistic outlook.
Right. And Clyde, is there anything that you'd like to add?
I just think that I hope everything works out for you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Okay, so final question then. You know, wrapping it all up, is there any one last message that you would like to give to people, you know, that you've learned through all your life, through everything that you've gone through, what would you say to people?
So what I would say is, even if, like, you think that it's not going to get better, that you're at the lowest you have ever been, that you can't give up. You have to keep going, even if, like, you don't want to or you feel like you can't. Just know that you can, and know that there are people out there who have gone through the same thing as you and have, you know, put it to make them better. Like, you know, instead of constantly just, like, hating yourself and being, like, upset and mad and just being like, you know, like, screw this, like, why even bother trying? But, like, you have to try in order to, like, get out of that. And, you know, when you try like that, it just makes life so much easier. It makes things in your life kind of start being put together, and, you know, thinking about these things as well really, really helps you understand what you could do to make it better, you know, it's just never give up, keep going, keep trying, and I assure you that one day things are going to be better than you'd ever expect them to be.
All right, I completely agree, and thank you so much, Judah, for coming on. I mean, I think And I say this a lot, but, like, without a doubt this time, this is probably one of the best episodes I've done. And the proof is in, like, the length. Like, this is the longest one and the best one, I'd say.
I feel like this was a very natural podcast. You know, things just sort of...
Yeah.
Thank you for having me, Carter.
Yeah, no problem, Judah. It's nice having you. And awesome having you too, Clyde. Hopefully we can do more of this or have you co-host.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah. And with that, I will see you guys all in the next episode.